Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm Greg Deering. In today's episode, we're digging into Kansas Farm Bureau's Political Action Committee, voters organized to elect Farm Bureau friends, or VoteFBF. We'll talk to a couple of members on the PAC board and to congressional candidates who've been endorsed by VoteFBF, including Representative Tracy Mann, Derek Schmidt, Representative Sharice Davids, and Representative Ron Estes. We'll get started with VoteFBF board members Mike Bine from Osage County and Jackie Munt from Pratt County. Mike, Jackie, welcome to Inside Ag.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
We're here to talk about a little bit about what VoteFBF does and kind of some of the endorsements that VoteFBF recently made. Jackie, let's start with you today. What does VoteFBF actually do, and why did you seek a position on the board?
VoteFBF is Kansas Farm Bureau's Political Action Committee. So Farm Bureau in and of itself is a nonpartisan organization, but because we are incredibly involved in policy development and the political process, if we want to be able to make endorsements to show our members who are great friends of agriculture and who are the legislators that we really want to be pulling for to get elected because they do understand agriculture or they've been good to work with, we have a political action committee to do that. And this is the arm that allows us to make that endorsement or that stamp of approval, but also to give them funding. And our process is unique because it comes from the county level and goes up. But I got involved in this committee because I had a little bit of interaction with the process at our county level and thought, this is really interesting. This is important work because who gets elected really matters. Because if they understand agriculture and are friendly to our organization, then we're much more likely to have policies that are going to be able to keep us on the farm and let us farm in the future for our families. And so I ended up running. I'm elected by the 11 counties in my district, and it's been an honor. I've served on the board for 5 years, coming up on my last year of my last term. And it's been a really great opportunity to get to hear from counties, get to look at the records of these folks, and really do our best to support candidates who are good for agriculture.
And Mike, would you say that you've had a similar experience with being on the VoteFBF board?
You know, I think our experiences are incredibly similar. Why we got involved, and of course, how the positions on the board work. I'd say, you know, being on the eastern side of the state, dealing with some of the larger counties, that it's a lot more time consuming than I originally thought when I got involved on the board, but still really rewarding because you get the opportunity to interact with so many candidates that have, you know, the eastern Kansas mindset on agriculture.
You mentioned time consuming. My next question was going to be kind of walk us through this endorsement process. I know it starts with counties and the CECs or the county evaluation committees, which are made up of contributors to VoteFBF. How do those conversations start? What do they look like? And I guess, how do you keep those apolitical?
You know, the counties do the bulk of the legwork here because they're the ones that give the board all of our true grassroots feedback. The counties will spend a lot of time vetting all the candidates that are in there, you know, that have their district. And then as they give their comments and their feedback to us, the board is basically able to say, okay, these are the candidates that the counties say, you know, fit the agricultural candidate that we should endorse and the best. So the conversation starts there. The other piece of that is, you know, we get to look at their voting record and where they stand on issues as far as agriculture are concerned. So the timing of that is all kind of unique to when these races kick off and after filing deadline, but still being out in front of, you know, the primaries and the general election.
And then what is your role as board members? I know a little bit about this process, but when you guys come together and meet, what does that look like? I don't want any state secrets divulged here, but how do those conversations go? What's the back and forth like, things like that?
So I'll jump in and start on this one. One of the things that is interesting about this position is it maybe looks like you have a lot of power, but really I see it as maybe not having power as much as guarding power for our counties. And so I think that everyone who shows up to the VoteFBF board is representing their home county and their home district, and we take that very seriously. And so our role really is to kind of sort through all of the information and make a final decision on who's going to be endorsed and if we're going to be giving money to the campaigns for the candidates that we've endorsed. And so from that perspective, looking first at what are our counties saying? Like, what's the feedback that they've given us? How do they feel about this candidate? A lot of times we'll hear this candidate has been really present in our district. They're great at answering questions. They're good to work with. Or we may hear the other end, which we don't want to endorse this candidate because, you know, they're hard to get a hold of and they don't listen to our concerns. And so that's probably the first and most important data point that we kind of sort through. And then we do have an opportunity to look at those other factors, their voting record, and, you know, have we endorsed them in the past and some of those types of things. And sometimes it's a really easy decision to make because somebody will come in and be a smart choice for agriculture and really well loved. And then there's other times where we maybe get conflicting information because a candidate may have a really strong relationship with one county and maybe not another. And so in those ones, we kind of have to use our discretion to figure out what's the best choice for the organization as a whole. Sometimes that's an endorsement and sometimes that's staying out of the race because it's not a really clear, you know, friendly incumbent, or it's not really somebody who's got the weight of the counties behind them.
Anything else to add there, Mike?
You know, that was really well said. So no, I don't think I have anything else to add there.
As usual, after Jackie speaks, everyone else is speechless. So moving on, though, you guys meet, you come up with a list of endorsements for state offices, federal offices. What happens next? After those are announced, the process doesn't end, right?
Once VoteFBF has made the decision to endorse a candidate and potentially make a contribution to them, there's a little bit of legwork that happens behind the scenes because we like to make sure that the candidate can really capitalize on the Farm Bureau endorsement, because our putting our logo with your campaign and putting our name on it is can be a really big boost because we've got an incredibly strong grassroots membership. And people work hard to get that endorsement. And so we work with them to try to figure out how that's going to be announced and what that looks like. And in many cases, we are making a campaign contribution. One of the things that we ask if we make a campaign contribution is that the candidates are running a positive campaign. We don't want to be supporting anything that is going to be negative or derogatory to another candidate. But we are absolutely in it behind those candidates, working to help them get elected. And sometimes that's counties just continuing to talk to their members and each other about those endorsements. And then there's other times where maybe there are some races that we know a candidate can use some extra help. And so we might step up in a bigger way. Our counties might help put signs up in different places. We might see if there's volunteers who want to help and work campaign events or walk in parades. And we've in the past with some bigger races also had an opportunity to do some mailers and work with some other ag organizations in the state to kind of pool our resources together to show support to a candidate, because the political world continues to be a place where a lot of money and resources are spent. And so there are times where the candidates really need us to step up in a big way. And we really see this process as once you've got that approval from Farm Bureau, we're going to do whatever we can to help you get elected because you're our candidate.
Right. Anything else you'd like our listeners to know about VoteFBF, the endorsement process, and just really anything that has to do with making endorsements for political candidates in Kansas?
Well, above having great feedback from all of our Farm Bureau members across the state, what's more important than that is that our Farm Bureau members become active members of the VoteFBF, which is Voters Organized to Elect Farm Bureau Friends. You can do that by following the link on the KFB website and, you know, contributing to the PAC, because it is 100% driven by donations of members from across the state. And then after that happens, you're more than welcome to get a hold of your county election committee and submit your feedback to them so that we get great feedback at the state level when it comes time to endorse candidates in your local races.
Jackie, anything else to add?
Yeah, I would just build on what Mike said about that county feedback. It's been said several times during this conversation, but it's so incredibly important, but it's only effective if our members are participating in the process. And I think that it's really easy to just leave everything up to your county board, but we want people to be contributing. You know, that helps us to have a little bit of money to give to candidates. We're not making huge contributions, but it's definitely helping a lot of those races out. And that happens because people are making those voluntary contributions or even potentially giving at a higher dollar amount. We do give out some cool swag if you give it a higher dollar amount. $50 will get you a iFarm I Vote either shirt or hat. And we want people to do that so that we've got that little nest egg, but also we want those people to be coming to that county election committee and saying, hey, here's my opinion, here's what's going on, because that's what makes our recommendations as strong as possible. And that's what continues to kind of keep the value in the Farm Bureau endorsement.
Mike mentioned it before, but that link is kfb.org/votefbf to get some more information about this program. That is all that we have today. So Mike, Jackie, thank you so much for taking time out. I know we're in mid-September. It is the busy season. So I appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us. And don't forget to get out and vote. We're just a couple weeks away.
Big thanks to Jackie and Mike, who joined us to talk a little bit about the VoteFBF board. Next, we're going to get to some of the candidates VoteFBF has endorsed. VoteFBF has endorsed Representative Tracy Mann, Derek Schmidt, Congresswoman Charisse Davids, and Congressman Ron Estes. We invited all of them to answer a few questions about themselves, their campaigns, and how they see the endorsement from VoteFBF. We'll start off with each of you giving our listeners a brief background. We'll go by district number and have the big first kick things off with Representative Tracy Mann.
So I'm Tracy Mann, fifth generation Kansan, born and raised on our family's farm just south of Quinter, Quinter High School, and was FFA president and had a great time growing up. You know, growing up on our farm and feed yard, I spent thousands of hours on a tractor, combine, doctored sick cattle in our preconditioning feed yard. My dad and brother farmed full time together in Gove County. I then, my mom's side of the family, my two uncles farm full time in Stanton County. I'm the first person since our family came to this country 120 years ago on either side to be in his late 40s and not in production agriculture, which is pretty wild. There really wasn't room on the farm for me and my brother. Shane beat me back and zero hard feelings. Everything works out. And so I went and did a career in commercial real estate before I ran for Congress. You know, agriculture in our state is so crucial. I went to K-State, studied agricultural economics. Dr. Barry Flinchbaugh's ag policy class was a one of my best classes at K-State by far. But agriculture is in my blood. It made me who I am today. And some of my fondest memories growing up was working cattle and listening to K-State football on Saturday afternoons. You know, ag is the heartbeat of our district, the big first. It's also the heartbeat of America. And never forget that the big first district, one of the biggest ag producing districts in the country. We're number one for beef production, number one for wheat, number one for sorghum, I think number seven for corn and number 11 for dairy. But we have oil and gas, we have manufacturing, other industry, but ag really drives our economy.
In District 2, Mr. Schmidt, would you share a little bit about yourself?
I'm a Southeast Kansas guy. My family has been an independent since shortly after the Civil War. I'm the fifth generation to call Southeast Kansas an independence home. We are very proud of this state, and we love it very, very much. I've had the opportunity to serve our state in several public roles as a state senator representing part of Southeast Kansas, as our attorney general for a number of years, as the Republican Party's nominee for governor. And I believe it's important we try to give back. That's part of the reason that I'm in this race now for Congress. Kansas agriculture is really the backbone of our state's economy, but also of so much of our state's culture. In communities all over Kansas, farming and ranching and related aspects of the agriculture industry really are what shape a community's character. And I just think it's so important we work hard not to lose that, especially as more and more of our kids wind up in an urban setting. So I'm a great fan.
And Congresswoman Davids, who represents the 3rd District, same question for you.
Well, hi, everyone. I'm Charisse Davids, and I am proud to represent Kansas's 3rd District in Congress. First, I'd start off with sharing that my path to Washington was somewhat unconventional as a first-generation college student who was raised by a single mom that served in the Army for 20 years. I certainly learned the importance of dedication and of public service. And, you know, when my mom retired in Kansas and we decided to call it home, her commitment to public service was instilled in me. And so was the deep respect for folks who serve their communities, much like, you know, everything I've seen, like the dedication we see from our local farmers and ranchers. As the third district has evolved to include more rural and agriculturally driven areas, I have taken on the responsibility of ensuring that all the voices of our district are represented in Washington. And Kansas agriculture is not just vital to our state's identity, it's a crucial part of our economy. So, you know, I'm aiming to advocate for policies that support our farmers, that support our ranchers, and doing that while bringing the values of resilience and service that I learned from my mom while I'm serving on the Ag Committee. And my commitment is to ensure that the agriculture community's needs are front and center. And that's especially true as we continue to consider the Farm Bill reauthorization.
And in the 4th District, Mr. Estes, can you share a little bit of your background?
As a 5th-generation Kansan who grew up on a farm, I have a deep understanding and respect for our ag producers in the state. It was on the farm that I learned the values of hard work and integrity, and I also saw sacrifices men and women make to feed and fuel the world. Also, my dad, he worked outside the farm, so that meant my siblings and I had to help out even more, which was valuable for us and helps me better serve Kansas farmers and ranchers that I represent today.
Next question, Mr. Schmidt, we'll start with you, and it's the toughest question. Why did you choose to run for Congress?
Our country has serious challenges, and I think we need serious people in public positions to try to address them, to leave the place better than we found it. Look, we all know what America wrestles with. It's everything from our budget deficits to overregulation to our standing in the world to, you know, everything in between. And I believe I'm in a position to effectively advocate for Kansas values, Kansas interests, our rural way of life. I'd like to have that opportunity because I think it really can make a difference as we try to come to grips with some of these challenges that our country has to in order to hand this country off to the next generation and continue this great experiment in self-government.
Same question to you, Representative Davids.
That's a great question. I think that every single Kansan deserves to have a voice in this process, especially on issues that impact their daily lives. And in Washington, I aim to offer a fresh and bipartisan perspective, and then of course fight for the concerns that matter most to our communities and ensuring access to quality, affordable health care, a stable food supply, and economic opportunities are all central to my mission in Congress and in this position. And, you know, agriculture is at the core of our state, so I want to ensure that our farmers and ranchers receive the support that they need from the federal perspective so they can thrive in what is increasingly complex markets. And, you know, during my Farm Bill listening tour, I got the chance to visit farms and ranches and other ag operations to learn firsthand about the challenges that our ag professionals are facing. And by focusing on their needs, I can protect our agricultural heritage we have while also looking at ways to pave the way for innovation and sustainability. So I see my vision as helping to create a future where Kansas ag flourishes and supporting families and communities all at the same time.
And Representative Vestas, why are you running?
My college and early career background was in engineering and process improvement in the private sector. I recognize that there's a lot of inefficiencies in government, and I fear that our country's headed in the wrong direction. There's a myriad of problems that we face today as a nation. An open border, high gas and food prices, rampant wasteful spending, not to mention the threats that exist globally from all of the evil people around. I worked in Congress to address some of these issues and want to continue to be part of the solution. I also want to leave our country better for our kids, and I want to restore and rebuild the American dream for the next generation of Kansans.
And Representative Mann, same question, and you'll wrap it up.
As a fifth-generation Kansan, I learned the value of hard work early on, spending countless hours on our family's farm and feed yard as I'm raising my own kids and teaching them, you know, values. I look at our country, and I'm worried about the future. Our national debts, we're $35 trillion in debt. Our borders are wide open. Fortunately, Washington Democrats refuse to do anything about it. And particularly with agriculture, the distance from farm to fork has never been wider. With fewer and fewer legislators with experience farming or ranching, we've got to have people in our nation's capital who understand our way of life and are willing to fight to preserve it. I did not come to Congress to be a caretaker of the slow demise of our country. I came to fight and protect our conservative Kansas values and for a nation that our children can be proud of them. Running to protect our Kansas way of life and to fight for our kids' future. My job as the big first congressman is to advocate for agriculture and our Kansas conservative values. I've been doing that and will continue to do so.
Congresswoman Davids, what are the issues you feel most important to agriculture in Kansas?
My foremost goal is to represent the farmers and producers of the 3rd District and of course, the state of Kansas. And you know, through the Farm Bill listening tour that I mentioned earlier, I did get to engage directly with farmers and ranchers, a lot of whom it voiced concerns about rising input costs and about things like industry consolidation. So I'm advocating for key priorities that are going to benefit these families, these sometimes multi-generational family farms. And doing that looks like protecting and improving crop insurance, which is essential for farmer stability. Kansas has this also rich legacy of agricultural research and development, especially at our universities. And so I'm committed to making sure that we're increasing those investments in that area to foster innovation where we can. And then increasing the ag supply chain is, I believe, crucial to reducing grocery prices for folks, and addressing the supply chain is one of the things I think is really important. I'm hoping to make USDA farm programs more effective while also protecting the vital nutrition programs like SNAP. And, you know, at the end of the day, Kansans want to grow their businesses, want to support their families and contribute to the local economy. And so by focusing on these critical issues, I hope to advocate for our farmers and ranchers while addressing, of course, the broader needs of all Kansans.
I'll have Representative Estes weigh in next.
As a member of the Ways and Means Committee, which I've served on for the last 6 years, we have jurisdiction over taxes, trade, Social Security, and a lot of health care issues. I've been very active in working to help expand markets for agriculture producers in the states. Kansas farmers and ranchers grow and produce commodities that are desired around the world, and our ag producers need free and fair trade and open markets. Unfortunately, the Biden-Harris administration and their supporters have put trade on the back burner, including enforcement of the good provisions in USMCA. Unfortunately, that's lasted the last 4 years. So I'm hopeful that with a new administration, we can once again tell the world that the United States is open for business and continue to pursue trade opportunities for Kansas agriculture. Also, it's important for elected officials to support good tax policies. Maintaining the ability to pass your farm on to the next generation is vital. 2025 will be a major year to keep good tax policy in place, and elected officials should commit to do that.
And Congressman Mann, what are some of the top issues in agriculture for you?
Well, first and foremost, we need this Congress to pass a fiscally conservative 5-year farm bill. I go to all 60 counties in the district every year. I've heard loud and clear and completely agree the importance of locking in a 5-year farm bill to provide them certainty. You know, we are seeing record decline nationally in net farm income. And if you look at where input costs are, where commodities are, combines are rolling right now. At least that's true on our family's farm. But unless we have exceptional yields, you know, it's going to be a tough year in agriculture with really no end in sight when I look at where input costs currently are and where commodities are. And so we have got to, at the very least, We owe it to our ag producers to provide some certainty, five-year farm bill. So that's very important to agriculture. Within that, crop insurance, I've been the champion for crop insurance in the Congress. We've got to continue to expand trade. Where I've championed doubling monies for MAP, Market Access Program, and FMD, Foreign Market Development, and also oversight. We've got to make sure that we are providing oversight on the administration as they're implementing the farm bill. So that's huge. Other issues certainly that I'm focused on is we got to have more trade deals that benefit our farmers and ranchers. We've got to continue to make sure that we're adding value to our ag products right here in the Big First District. But I've been disappointed with the administration's lack of focus and really effort they're putting into trade, specifically trade of our ag products. Definitely is regulations. You know, you look at the all these regulations that continue to come out of Washington and how problematic they are for ag producers, whether it's the lesser prairie chicken, waters of the U.S., taking away our farm management practices, the chemicals and the tools that we need, all are very important.
And Mr. Schmidt, what do you see some of the big issues facing ag?
Most farmers and ranchers I know philosophically really just want to be left alone. They want the freedom of living their lives and shaping their operations and raising their families in the manner that they choose. That's part of the reason they choose our lifestyle. There are, of course, many public policy issues that are important. No doubt the many issues in the farm bill, certainly crop insurance and some of the risk management programs are vitally important to many producers. But it's also true that there are important public policy issues on the federal level that are outside the farm bill that are so critically important to agricultural producers. For example, we know that next year the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, many of its provisions sunset. Unless they are extended, they will go away. It's vital that we keep stepped-up basis in place so that it's possible to pass the farm on to the next generation. And likewise, the increased, and I would prefer more increased, but the increased exemptions on the estate tax. You should never have to sell the farm in order to pay for handing it off to the next generation. So there are a lot of issues in play. Certainly the regulatory environment is one I hear everywhere I go. And I just think we have a chance to make some progress on some of these.
And for our final question, what does the KFB Vote FBF endorsement mean to you and your campaign? Congressman Estes, please lead us off here.
The Kansas Farm Bureau endorsement should be for elected officials and candidates that consistently support and advocate for issues important to agriculture. I've had the endorsement each year that I've run for Congress, and I don't take it for granted. The endorsement from the Kansas Farm Bureau is a reminder to continue fighting for our Kansas farmers.
And Representative Mann, the value of the Vote FBF endorsement to you.
You know, it's very important. Proud to be endorsed by Kansas Farm Bureau. Means so much to me and my campaign. And it's because the endorsement represents the grassroots support of our ag producers in our district, of our Farm Bureau members, who are just fantastic, top-notch people, whose values are aligned with mine. Those values being faith, family, hard work, caring for our neighbors. So, you know, the endorsement is incredibly important. To me, there are fewer and fewer legislators every year that have experience on the farm, and ag is the heartbeat, certainly in the district of Kansas, but really of the country. And how do we use it? As we have 4x8 signs all over the district, we put endorsed by Kansas Farm Bureau on those signs, use it other ways as well as we're communicating to folks and asking for their vote. And really appreciate Farm Bureau's help, support, endorsement, and really friendship and partnership as I continue to work to advocate for agriculture and our Kansas conservative values.
And Mr. Schmidt, how does this endorsement impact your campaign?
I am so honored to once again be the Kansas Farm Bureau Vote FBF endorsed candidate in this race for Congress. I have had the privilege of being endorsed by Kansas Farm Bureau in every race I have run for public office in Kansas. And I value the friendships and the relationships, both personal and professional, that we've built up together over time. Farm Bureau, through Vote FBF, really is the voice of Kansas agriculture in the political process. I share with folks everywhere I go that I'm proud to be a Farm Bureau endorsed candidate. I use the opportunity to attend many local County Farm Bureau meetings, or annual meetings or otherwise, to call on Farm Bureau members who I know and have built friendships and relationships with to seek advice or bounce ideas off of. This is the way self-government is supposed to work, and the grassroots process of Vote FBF is the gold standard for political engagement in our state.
And finally, we'll conclude with Representative Davids on the importance of the Vote FBF endorsement.
I'm very excited about it, but truly the KFB Vote FBF endorsement is, this is a significant milestone for my campaign, and I hope a testament to my commitment to Kansas agriculture. You know, I view this as a reflection of the trust that farmers and ranchers have put into me in this role. And I know that it's actually a very, very important, personally important milestone for me. And, you know, I'm dedicated to advocating for the best interests of our farmers and ranchers while I'm in Congress. And I also know that just because we got this endorsement doesn't mean that the work is done. You know, it's of course going to continue helping me see how important working hard to keep bipartisan efforts going, you know, continuing to work with folks like Congressman Mann on the Ag Committee, looking at ways to ensure that all the voices in the Kansas Third are being heard. I also think it kind of empowers me to amplify these pressing issues that are facing Kansas agriculture, and helps me connect with constituents who share that vision for a stronger ag community. So I hope this endorsement demonstrates my recognition of how important it is to advance the policies that support our farmers and ranchers while also addressing their concerns. And it's like such a huge honor to have the Kansas Farm Bureau's support through expertise and, of course, this endorsement. And, you know, I'll continue to work tirelessly to ensure that Kansas farmers and ranchers are being heard in Washington.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, please give it a like and share with others. I'm Greg Deering, and this has been Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture.